Hi there, this is John Falola. Thank you so much for joining me on today's broadcast of Startup Nation World. Our theme for this month is citizen engagement. I actually do believe that the greatest way to keep any government or democratic government in particular accountable is by citizen engagement, and the greatest medium for government to communicate their developmental goals or agenda or their commitment to them is via citizen engagement, so that people can be in the know as to what's really happening. And we live in a world where there's a gap in the quality of communication, so people make decisions based on what they know, though. So I realize for most of the developed world, there's a means of communication between the government and the people. You know, when policies are to be implemented, when matters that concerns the people are to be debated and all of that. You know, one of the reasons why you see lesser protests in the UK and the US is that most of their issues are properly debated in the Senate or House in the US or the Parliament in the UK. So the real reason why I think the next level of citizen engagement is for people to hold their legislators accountable. You know, the reason why a legislator was voted for was so that they can get the heartbeats of the people and take those ideas to the floors of the legislative house and debate issues that concerns the people that they represent. But in this part of the world, for instance, where I come from, there's in the constitution, you can recall legislators that don't work in alignment with the social contract that they signed with the people that voted for them, especially when they have voted in to go and legislate new laws that concerns their constituencies or the entire state itself or nation itself. So sometimes you can find a very good thinking legislator, you know, navigating a bill that can change the perspective of our national outlook. So it's not all about their constituency alone. I would also like to say that one of the greatest ways to improve democracy is to see citizen engagement as a feedback, not as an enemy. You know, it's just an information, you know, just for you to know that this is what people think should be done, this is what people think shouldn't be done. And that does not mean that as a government, for instance, that every thing the citizen says is always right. And that doesn't mean that everything that the government says is always right. What it means is that it is the job of the government to also always filter between what they think is right and what they could do better. So, and differentiate when, you know, you have people talking about things that are not really, really important or things that doesn't concern or impact lives at large in terms of governance. So, I would categorically state that in many parts of Africa, for instance, citizen engagement is rather low, you know. But there's been a recent wave, though, across the world, whereby we saw the rise of protests, whereby different people, different bodies were engaging the government about issues that were long-standing, like police brutality, even in the US, in Nigeria, you know, across different parts of the world. Even in Thailand, there was a protest about some issues that had to do with the government. And I really do not believe that protest is a solution in terms of citizen engagement. It's just a way to, you know, display agitations or show the government that you disagree with them, right? But protest without a means to get the message across to the leaders that would legislate the laws and the leaders that have the executive power to give, you know, directives about the issues that you are protesting about, leads to total failure. So I would use a practical example. You know, Black Lives Matter was able to not just attempt to communicate to the existing government of the day at that time, but when they saw that they were ignored, they had to prove a point by, you know, voting in a new leader. And the truth about it is this: in this day and time as well, in other part of the world, you've seen people who have shared their views of how governance should be, you know, go to the polls and try to make a statement. Even if the candidate does not win, at least they went out there to make a statement. What I'm trying to just drive out is this: anything about governance that doesn't recognize feedback, that doesn't realize that things can be better and improved, you know, that is no longer a democratic government. That is more like a, you know, autocracy. So I really believe that what makes democracy beautiful is about the fact that it's about the people. You know, if your decisions is not about the collective, if whatever it is you are deciding doesn't affect the day-to-day, you know, lives of people, then it is a colossal failure, you know. And I really do believe that you can never see any leader who's focused on constructively building the people, you know, or providing opportunities for the people to be their best, not to be appreciated by the people. Because everybody likes good things. Everybody appreciates good things. You know, when people see things being done at a particular pace, they have no other choice than to, you know, be drawn to it and reward it with their vote as well. So I'll leave you with this thought. I really do believe that protest is not enough. People who believe that everything's about protesting, I understand that within the institutions, for instance, in Nigeria, the issue of subsidy came into play and the previous administration had removed it from the budget. But the previous budget, which was supposed to elapse in July, has a subsidy covered. It is disheartening to see people, you know, impose hardship on others just because they want to take advantage of the situation and make more money, you know, where the government had already paid for subsidy, to the time whereby a privately owned refinery that equally has the government's regulatory body as a shareholder will be fully operational, so that you can be able to have a full circle of ecosystem, where I believe that the cost of fuel should not be as high as what we have today. It should be somewhere in between 200 and 250 or less, even 180 or thereabouts. But you know, I'm not the one who's going to determine the price, because the owner of the refinery or the business that refines the oil to is not a charity business. They are also trying to make some profit, so they have to do what works for them as well. But I would also think that since at the moment they are servicing millions of people within the geography of Nigeria, the price should be reasonable. I think 200 naira per liter is not bad, you know, and or it's not bad at all, or even 250, because of the volume that he'll be doing. So I really do believe as well that over time the prices will drop, providing that, you know, we are self-sufficient enough to take care of our needs, and we can start looking outwards to export, you know, in large volumes as well to people who need it. Where the profit is in exportation, is in ensuring that after we are self-sufficient as an oil-producing nation, we can also ensure that as we export those commodities at the global rates, it reflects in our sovereign fund and all of that. So with these few points of mine, I've been able to let you know that citizen engagement is the way to go. You know, people need to be more aware about what is their right within the sphere of governance, and people also need to know when to, how to engage government, how to have conversations around issues that they disagree about. You know, I really do believe that, you know, I think some government houses, or probably some proactive government houses, actually have protest space for, you know, NGOs who want to protest about issues, and that shows you that it's a welcome development. The only issue is this: whenever you are having a protest and you have another vendetta that is beyond just a protest, that's what the issue is. And in the matters of national security, I support anything that, I condemn any acts, you know, that would seek to destroy what we seek to build. It's quite important that if you're going to be a nation builder, you should understand that your goal should never to even be attempt to destroy what it is that we have. Your goal should be to counter build what the future should be like. So I'll continue on the part 2 of this series. Stay tuned.